at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Jeremiah chapter 23.
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But
the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them.
And they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets.
Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me,
the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace.
And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart,
no evil shall come upon you.
For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying,
What is the burden of the Lord?
Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet, and the priest, and the people, that shall say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, What hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, The burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, Because ye say this word, The burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, Ye shall not say, The burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten.
Okay. Hi, this is Sister Mona. It's recently come to my attention that there's a fairly good amount of people that listen to these podcasts that are being called into the ministry or are actually in the ministry already. And I just have a word of warning and exhortation for those who are either entering the ministry or in the ministry that I pray can just be really helpful. So, in 2 Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if I remember correctly, the Apostle Paul says that he suffers not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man. All of my podcasts are for women, but if there are any men listening to this particular podcast, I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form tell or usurp authority or anything like that over any man that would listen to this podcast. You could just take it as a soft word of counsel with a bit of prophecy, just a little bit on a side note. Take it or leave it. It's like a suggestion, but I want to make sure that that's clear because I don't want to I want to keep the commandments of the Lord. Let's go and pray. Lord, help me to really be a blessing to your servants, to help them walk in exactly what it is that you want them to do, and to really help them so that their labors will be abundantly fruitful. And I just pray a special blessing and covering over them, Lord. Keep them. I just pray for their keeping and for their understanding in this American church, that they may be able to see clearly and lay down everything that is not of you, and be true salt and light, be true warriors for you, and help lead this last generation of remnant church members in this time. I ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if, I don't know where to begin, if you are being called into the ministry by the Spirit of God, please wait and let the Lord lead you, and be fully prepared for Him to tell you to do things that are outside of the norm, okay, of what you think. My own personal testimony when I got called into the ministry, when it was, you know, early one morning when I was in prayer, and by the Holy Spirit, it was very clear that He was calling me, you know, into the ministry. And my first inclination was to attend Bible college. I already have a bachelor's degree. And so I thought maybe I should just go back and get myself, you know, a ministry degree or something like that. And he said no. And it was, I didn't really understand why, you know what I mean? But it was just very clear that the Holy Ghost was telling me not to do this, okay? And now I can see why he told me that. He just instructed me to continually read the scriptures and just, you know, he developed a, you know, a prayer and reading sort of regimen for me, you know, that to follow. But basically he just told me that everything that I needed to know in order to enter into the ministry, I would learn just directly from the KJV Bible, just reading it. And by the Holy Spirit, you know, like it says in 1 John, that the Holy Spirit was going to teach me, and then He was going to take me through different trials in my own life to teach me and prepare me. I have to remember that, you know, Peter was a fisherman, okay? And in the book of Acts, when he said, when the Pharisees, you know, were just completely stumbled because they couldn't believe that Peter was speaking with such authority over them, you know what I mean? And they said, well, you know, he's learned from his teacher, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? So the thing is that I'm not saying don't go to Bible college. I'm not saying do go to Bible college. I make that extremely clear. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm just saying pray. And please, 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 I urge you, as a sister in Christ, lovingly, please do not follow a cookie cutter system. Don't do things the way that everybody else is doing them just because it's something that you're comfortable in and you think you should do. Stop and really humble yourself and allow the Holy Ghost to lead you, and possibly be extremely prepared for the Holy Ghost to have you do things that are opposite of what everybody else is doing. Because the state of our church right now in the United States, this is the fruit that is bared from this cookie cutter system. It is this lukewarm, go through the motions type of system, okay? And it's just, I'm coming across this time and time again where the Holy Spirit is really pulling His ministers out of this system because it's religious and it's not bearing any fruit and it's really bad stuff and He doesn't want them a part of it. So when it comes to things like Bible colleges, you know, going out and purchasing a building or renting a building, all these sort of like typical American things that we're used to doing, pray about it. I'm not saying do it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying let the Holy Ghost lead you and be fully prepared if He tells you, I don't want you going to Bible college. I don't want you getting a building. You know what I mean? I want you just to stick with a house church. You know what I mean? Or I want you to do something, you know, online or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Be fully prepared for Him to have you do things that are different than what you see in the mainstream church. Okay. Also, fasting. I strongly suggest having a season of fasting and prayer prior to entering into the ministry. This is what Jesus did before he started. Paul also was on a three-day, I think it was a three-day fast when he was blind. Elijah fasted for 40 days before he went and took, before the Lord instructed, gave him his instructions, and then he took Elisha under his wing. So fasting strongly suggests a season, you know, whatever time the Lord leads you to, but a time of prayer and fasting so you can get very clear instructions as to what the Lord wants your ministry to be. All I'm saying is be ready and willing. Scripture says, I think it's Luke 15 and 16, that what is highly esteemed amongst man is an abomination unto God. Really pray and let the Lord remove our culture from your mind. It's the only way I could put it. Our culture is just, it's toxic. It really is. The American culture is really bad stuff when it comes to serving God. You know what I mean? It's consumed with pretty things, buildings and numbers, large congregations, you know, big fancy degrees, just sort of all of this worldly type of stuff. And I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't use scholars and he doesn't use big buildings. The Lord uses whatever he wants to use. But I'm just saying that really be prepared if the Lord is calling you into the ministry to have a season of prayer and fasting and allowing him to regenerate your mind and remove from it all these things that, you know, sort of you're used to or you think is necessary, okay? Be prepared. I say this, oh my goodness, in so much meekness and love. Be prepared to have a very small group listening to you, okay? If you are, you know, which you should be, teaching directly from the scriptures, okay? Be very prepared, very, very prepared to have small numbers. Already, just close your eyes, okay, when it comes to numbers of people that are listening to you and popularity and things like that. We have this sort of system in our culture that is just obsessed with, like, you know, YouTube hits or number of listens or views, whatever. Everything's monitored and tracked, okay? We have to remember, scripture says that few will inherit the kingdom of God. Few, okay? And I see this, I've seen this time and time again. I'm just praying that anybody who's listening, who's either in the ministry or going into the ministry, really heeds this warning. I see good pastors who I can see the Holy Ghost really wants to use, but they're gripped by worldly things and it is really holding them back. And they've come into a place of compromise because they're consumed with the number of people that are sitting in their church pew. Okay. Or they're concerned with being able to pay the mortgage on the building or the rent on the building, whatever it is that month. You know what I mean? Or they're limited by worldly things. And I could see that if they could just let go and be completely broken and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. You cannot serve two masters. I'm going to speak what God says no matter what. Like, they could be so on fire and such a powerful vessel for the Lord. If they could just let go of these things. And so I really urge anybody who's listening that, you know, is either in the ministry or going into ministry to really pray for God to help you let go of this stuff, to let go of numbers, to let go of, you know, statistics, to let go of what people think, you know what I mean, and really set your mind to not serving two masters, to saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm here to serve God and serve God alone, because you're going to need it in order to really speak the word of God in today's American church. You've got two things going on, okay? You've got a religious system of what you could call churchianity, okay? A system of people that are playing church, calling themselves Christians, you know, being ushered in and out of pews and church buildings on Sundays or whatever, and it's a religious system that's not bearing any fruit, and they're not truly born again Christians by the power of God. Okay, some of the people in there are, but they're being pulled out. And then you've got this small percentage of the remnant church, just like it was with Israel, you know what I mean? I like to think of it also too, Lord, help me understand this. It's Joshua and Caleb, okay? Because remember, he called, I'm not good with numbers, but about 2 million people, I've heard of the estimates, out of Israel with the children of Israel, right? And that middle generation, they were judged to wander the desert, you know, for 40 years and die in the desert. And only two out of that generation came out, and that was Joshua and Caleb. That's what few looks like. Okay, that's what few looks like. And in this end times and with this remnant church, if you are preaching the truth, that's what you're going to be working with, is that few, is those Joshua and Calebs, okay? And there's a new generation coming, just like it was with the promised land, okay? The Lord is raising up a new generation, okay, that's going to enter that promised land and conquer it. Okay, but they're not going to step foot in a lukewarm religious, churchianity system. They're not going to, because they can spot it, because this generation is filled with the Holy Ghost, and they know how dangerous that is, okay? And I want to make something clear. It's not about, like, turning our backs on the lukewarm church or, you know, looking down upon them, but there's two things we have to consider, that if we want to reflect Christ, we got to preach like him. And he talked about hell all the time. He talked about sin all the time. He was Christ, our Lord and Savior, did not mince words. And what happens is you have this place of, like, compromise, because, you know, I think that a lot of ministers are coming from a good place of love, where they want to see people saved, but we can't lean on to our own understanding and think that we know better than the Lord. Our voice, you know, if it is pure Holy Ghost, will reflect the voice of Christ, and it will be similar. It will talk about sin. It will talk about hell. We'll talk about damnation, okay? Because these are serious issues, and we're not going to, wake, lost Christians up out of this, like, sleeping church generation by just, compromising and saying, pleasing things, just like that scripture in Jeremiah 23. It was like, we don't want to have any part of that. We don't want to deceive people. We don't want people to feel comfortable in their sin or feel comfortable, in like their lostness after having, ministered onto them. We want to really speak the truth so that we can help them, grow and really be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's not that we're looking down upon, people that are in the lukewarm church. We want to see them, wake up, but we just have to be honest with ourselves and realize the fact that you're not going to wake people up by, like, preaching lullabies, and preaching people happy and just telling them what they want to hear. Okay, because that's just not the way that Christ, preached. He does talk about suffering and reach out and, comfort. I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. Of course there is. The Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. But what I'm saying is that we got to take the whole Christ and not hinder the Holy Ghost. And, if it's something that's rough and people don't want to hear it, speak it. Because, not only will we be accountable, but that's what's going to pull them up out of their lostness. I can't tell you how many times, there's been a rebuke, and it was hard, and it wasn't something that I wanted to say, but the Holy Ghost, was obedience. The next thing I know, this sister's turning around and repenting, and I'm like, praise God, that I didn't back off and lean onto my own understanding, because there's a place for rebuking, there's a place for exhortation, all these sorts of things. We got to reflect Christ, and so that's how we actually will help people that are lost, help people that are in the lukewarm church, help people that are asleep to wake up, is through the Holy Spirit. So we've got to just do what he says. And then also the thing to consider is the times, the signs of the times. The fact of the matter is the great falling away is going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? And he says, because of the sufferings, Matthew 24, or like the, I can't remember what he says, but he says the love of many will grow cold. So taking those two things into account, that, our country resembles Israel close to the fall, right? And when Babylon took over, where there was a remnant, okay, wasn't, a whole bunch of people that were seeking, you know, God. It was a small group. You know what I mean? And when we take that into account and understand that that's just a sign of the times, and that's what Jesus says when the times, when he returns, you know, that it's going to be a small number. We just have to understand that it will be few, okay? We don't know which few. We're hoping to grab, you know, whatever few are there. We don't know who's who and what's what. But as we speak the truth, we need to be prepared, just like the Apostle Paul says, people are not going to want to hear it. Okay, they're not going to want to hear it. So just those two little things as a side note. It's not a heart of hatred and pride and looking down on the lost church, because you don't know who's going to turn around. I was lost. I was in a lukewarm church, and the Lord opened my eyes. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you, my eyes were not open through flattery. They weren't open through, you know, smooth-talking churches. They were open from a preacher, I can't remember who his name is, but that was really speaking the truth and really rebuking. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, lost. Okay, and it woke me up. That's the stuff that opens people's ears. That's what wakes them up. You know what I mean? We just have to speak the truth, whatever the Holy Ghost is telling us, and not be afraid, but be bold to speak the truth. And then the other thing is just to understand also to the signs of the times. You could be speaking the truth and, you know what I mean, just be prepared for a small group, because Scripture's already prophesied that there will be a great falling away, that most people are not going to want to hear, you know, sound doctrine, like the Apostle Paul says. And, you know, so you're going to get a lot of rejection, okay? You're going to get a lot of rejection. Any rejection anyways, but be prepared for rejection from quote-unquote Christians. That's the thing that may confuse people. Don't get confused, okay? Because Scripture already prophesies all of this, okay? That so just be prepared for that small group that's going to be on fire, but be prepared for people that, you know, call themselves Christians to not want to hear the truth, okay? So that you don't get sidetracked. Important scripture, I think it's in, I believe it's in Amos. It's one of the prophets. He talks about, he's drawing a plumb line, okay? Right now, the same thing is there's going to be a famine in the land, not a famine of food, but a famine of his word, okay? And he talks about this line, this plumb line being drawn, okay, amongst the people, okay, for those that are his and those that are not. Be prepared to see this right before your very eyes as you speak pure Holy Ghost, as you speak of that, just as long as when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, be prepared for that lukewarm, you know, temperature to either get boiling hot or freezing cold, for people to full on reject you or full on receive you, okay, because that plumb line is going to be drawn between those who are truly born again Christians by the power of God, okay? I'm talking about raised from the dead with Christ, okay? And living, you know, through the Holy Spirit, okay? Still the Holy Spirit, supernaturally born again. And then lukewarm churchianity with people that want to play Christ, okay? Be prepared for that plumb line to be drawn, okay? So don't be surprised if, you know, all of a sudden a whole bunch of people leave and don't want to hear you, get rejected, and there's just like a handful of people that actually want to hear you. This is just normal for the times, okay? This is the times that we're in the end. It's the way that the scripture prophesied it. So just be ready for that. But it's really going to take faith, okay? It's really going to take faith to find those Joshuas and those Calebs, okay? To find those people, because they are few and they are rare, okay? And they're not going to send they're not going to, it's just be prepared to have a small group, a small but powerful group that are complete, you know, they've got a zeal for God and they're devoted, okay? And that's all you need. Because remember, that's all that the Lord used, Joshua and Caleb, and then a new generation to subdue nations. That's all you need. You know what I mean? And so if you are possibly, you know, the Lord has been dealing with you and you are preaching churchianity and the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you and he's been saying, listen, you need to put all of the fluffy stuff, the books, the CDs, all the things that your congregation's comfortable with, you need to lay that down and start cracking open that KJV Bible and start preaching the truth. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, my entire congregation's going to leave. Let them. Okay? Let them. All right? Obey the Holy Ghost. Do what he says, because there will be blood on your hands on judgment day. We know what it says in the book of James, okay? That we are held to a higher standard of accountability. It is no joke. Churchianity here in the United States is paving the road to hell, because it's teaching a gospel that people are comfortable with, but it's not the true gospel. It's not letting them know that they need to be placed in the grave with Jesus Christ and then raised from the dead incorruptible. Do you understand what I'm saying? That they need to be a truly new creation, that they're not saved because they show up on Sunday. They're not saved because they tithe. They're not saved because they got a Bible app. They're not saved because they listen to Christian music. They are saved if they have been laid in the tomb of Jesus Christ and raised from the dead, truly born again, and sealed with the Holy Ghost for the day of redemption. True supernatural salvation. Okay, but see, churchianity, this lukewarm church, it is teaching something else, okay? And it is extremely dangerous stuff because it's not dealing with people's salvation. It's not dealing with them in an honest and true way. It's letting them be comfortable playing church, okay? And to where they can deceive themselves and continue to deceive themselves and never truly become born again. Do not play with this stuff, okay? Don't have anything to do with it. And if you are in any way, shape, or form teaching it, and you know the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, and he's like, you need to start telling these people, do it, please, praise God. Lord, you need to do it because there's going to be so much blood on your hands on Judgment Day for not warning your congregation and telling them the truth. If everybody leaves your church and you've got two left, praise God. You've got Joshua and Caleb. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let them leave, okay? Let them leave. If your church shuts down and you move to a house church, okay, if you start having service in the park, whatever, you know, if it's good enough for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he taught all the time from you know, like the wilderness. Then, you know, John the Baptist, he's baptizing, you know, in the wild. Our brothers and sisters, that's where they're teaching in the Middle East. It's good enough for us. Do you know what I mean? Be prepared for that, okay? And know that great is your reward in heaven, okay? That's what it says, right? I think it's in the book of Luke, okay? If they abandon you because you're preaching righteousness, great is your reward in heaven. You know, Moses said, I put before you life and death, amen? Okay? Don't have anything to do with the lukewarm churchianity system. Don't, if you're entering into the ministry, don't do this cookie cutter, I'm going to just do what everybody else does, you know, in the church type of a thing, okay? There is a system of authority, and there is a system, you know, a hierarchy, you know what I mean, and elders and things like that. I am not under it. I'm not trying to you know, disagree with that in any way, shape, or form, but be prepared that your elder, okay, all right, the person that, you know, the Lord may have over you, okay, could be a janitor, okay? Be prepared for that. It may not be someone with, you know, a big fancy degree in a big fancy building, okay? It could be someone who is cleaning, you know, the building at night at the place where you work. That could be your elder. Let us open our eyes and see the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? The system and the hierarchy that God has for us in Scripture, okay? Let us, our eyes be, you know, enlightened, like it says in Ephesians, to see clearly, okay? To see clearly that the people the Lord has, you know, and that he wants to use, the way that he's going to do things, it may not be what we're used to, okay? It may not be what we're used to, okay? So that's all I'm saying is just really pray and let the Lord lead you and be prepared if it sounds completely different than what you expect, okay? Be prepared for your, you know, your elders, your place of worship, you know, your deacons, your bishops to possibly look totally different than what you think they should look like, okay? Have your eyes open to the meek and humble things, okay? That he has before you. He says he will use the humble things to confound the wise, okay? The Lord is leading you to, you know, and you're starting a church or you have a church and he's leading you, you know what I mean, to walk away from something big and fancy and move to something that doesn't look so pretty. Remember, the beauty of the church is in his people. They are the temple of God, okay? They are the temple of God. So the way things look to the naked eye, things they look to people, let it go, okay? What your family thinks, what other people think, if they're going to look at you and be like, oh my gosh, you know, this person's church, the way he's doing things are just so, you know, unattractive, and you know what I mean? Or the way that she's doing things are so unattractive, whatever it is, you know what I mean? It's okay, because you serve one master, okay? It's him that we desire to please. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus Christ was, you know, nothing to look upon, okay? He's humble. Okay, he wasn't what they expected. All right? Let us be prepared and willing by the hand of God to do whatever he wants, no matter what people think, and no matter how different it is. Okay, and then finally, each ministry will be different because the Lord is, you know, very specific as to what he, you know, wants his servants to do, but just be prepared for your ministry to be about preparing those you minister to for what's coming. Okay? Helping them be prepared for what's coming. So many believers, just when I'm in prayer with the Holy Spirit, are just not prepared for the persecution that is coming, the deception that is coming. And this is probably the most important one that I'm getting from the Holy Spirit, is they're not prepared to be persecuted by other Christians. It's already happening. You can see it in the news and things like that. When a Christian that actually speaks for the Bible, the ones that attack them first are quote-unquote Christians. Because as this plumb line is drawn, just, you know, I'm not trying to tell anybody what exactly their ministry will be, because that has to come, you know, directly through the Holy Spirit. But just be prepared. Prepare yourself to prepare others. Because that could be quite possibly like a primary focus of your ministry, is just getting believers ready for what's coming, the deception that's coming, and the confusion, just really understanding that they must be prepared to expect Christians to persecute them. People who are Christian in name only. Because I think a lot of believers are prepared in their minds for, you know, the New World Order to persecute them, you know, Muslims to persecute them, just all these other things, but they're not prepared for the great falling away that's coming. And then quite possibly for other Christians that have fallen away to persecute the remnant. Many Christians are not prepared. They may be prepared in some level for persecution, but they're not prepared for the way that it's going to come. It's going to come in this deception, like the believers and followers of Christ are evil. Truly born again, supernaturally saved Christians who are actually walking in the Holy Ghost will be persecuted as the evil ones. It's going to flip upside down, because a lot of Christians are prepared for, you know, Muslims that are chopping people's heads off and who everybody doesn't like, and they all can tell that they're, you know, that it's evil, you know. Or the New World Order, which everybody knows, or most people know, is evil. They don't have the soberness in their mind to understand that when persecution comes, that there's a very strong possibility that it will deceive itself and deceive people into labeling Christians as evil. Truly born again Christians. I hope I'm making sense. The ones that are truly following God and standing by the Bible, standing for righteousness, standing for what God says, standing for the commandments of Jesus Christ. I don't think that those believers are prepared for the persecution that will come falsely, because this is what happened to Jesus. He was killed for blasphemy. Okay? It was deceptive. They were actually calling Jesus evil, okay? So we have to understand that this will come to us as well, that we will be seen as bad and evil and mean and intolerant and all these sorts of things that we don't love, that we don't know how to love. We don't know what the meaning of love is, because a lot of the persecution will come in the form of like mind games and trying to confuse believers, and they need to be aware of this. Jesus said that the time cometh where they will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. So the time is coming where persecution is going to come to the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, and those persecuting the true body of Christ will think they're doing God a service. It's already happening. And it's going to come at the hand of people who think they're Christians. And we need to prepare the sheep for that. Remember, of the two that entered the promised land, right? Joshua and Caleb, remember, before they entered the promised land, the Israelites wanted to stone them. Okay, so these are supposed to be God's people, the Israelites. They all, you know, confessed, you know, back at the mountain when Moses sprinkled them with blood and said that they would keep the covenant. And so all of them are supposed believers, right? But when that plumb line was drawn between those who really believed, like we're talking about earlier with the few, and those who didn't, and those who didn't fell away, those who fell away wanted to kill those who believed, that few. Okay, those who, the Israelites that did not believe they could enter the promised land, who fell away with a lack of faith, wanted to kill and stone Joshua and Caleb, who did believe. Okay, remember, Jesus was crucified by religious Jews, Pharisees. So we can fully expect history to repeat itself. So it's just sobering. It's, you know, and it's important that we all understand that, that the sheep understand that, because we don't want anybody getting confused and doubting the Holy Spirit when these things happen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I ask for a special blessing over your servants who are to lead this end time remnant church. I pray for their families. Blessing over their families, that their households be kept in order, over themselves, just for them to be blessed with a very strong gift of discernment and clarity of purpose. I pray for their protection and for their keeping and for their loyalty above all to you, for them to have a completely loyal heart that does not play with anything of themselves or any form of idolatry, and is just passionately, completely faithful to you, even hating them all, their own lives to the point of death in this end times. Help us, Lord, to abandon the religious churchianity system and not to have anything to do with it, to preach the true gospel rooted in your KJV Bible that speaks the truth. Help us to be a fiery remnant church that goes where you want, does what you want, and does not care what anybody thinks, because like you say, the things that are highly esteemed amongst man are abomination unto God. And we know that your wisdom does not come in classrooms. It doesn't come through lectures and things like that. I'm not saying that we can't be blessed by those things, but Lord, just help us to be prepared that just like the disciples walked with Jesus, and then they were prepared for their calling of being apostles. It's the same with your Holy Ghost. We walk with the Holy Ghost. We have your word. And we're prepared to allow you to teach us any way that you want to teach us. Help us not to put you in a box. Not to try and file into a system that's been created by man. But to follow your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal